just show me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, January 13th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and of course, Aaron Green is joining me as we are analyzing the Prime Minister's letter, I guess, to the unionists, or letter to the Bahamian people.
Statement on threatened industrial action.
I like how you say it. But I was going to have the Today Show themed the State of the Union, you know, double play, wordsmith. But I have something I want to get off of my chest, right? In the middle of this union debacle, when it seems as if the Prime Minister was aware that something was brewing, that a general strike, I use that word loosely because some of the trade union umbrellas wasn't a part of it, but the TUC was planning, in the middle of the TUC, planning a general strike. My good Prime Minister was spotted to a private party in Bimini. Right?
Hold on, what do you mean in Bimini?
He flew to Bimini to go to a private party in the middle of this looming strike. I have problems with that. The Prime Minister could do anything he wants to do. No, I'm cool with that. But when you
have his wife gives him permission.
But of course, yeah, no. That's the dynamics. But when we have a national issues, when the entire country could be closed down, I don't want to see you having fun. You're supposed to be sober and concentrating on the national issues, on my issues. I am the employer. You are the employee. And I think they're reversing my roles, right? And thinking that I am the taker of things.
Hold on, you mean the Prime Minister was drinking on the job? Because I mean,
the Prime Minister's
like the police. They're always on duty.
See, and I will make this statement before we go back to our theme and topic, right? I believe, just me, C.A. Nuri, I can take the blame for this because I know I told Dwight to listen to the show because I might say some things, right? I know Urkel. I believe that former Prime Minister, Hubert Ingram would not have attended certain parties. He put it upon himself that certain things he would not attend.
Because in that sense, Prime Ministers are also like judges where they have to maintain a certain degree of or lack of proximity, right, from the broader society to ensure that they can maintain their integrity.
I love that, Aaron. You might have to repeat that again. See, the role of Prime Minister is so sacred to me. That's why I brought it up. And I didn't tell you what I was going to talk about. But the role of Prime Minister is so sacred to me, right? That it needs to be protected and guarded. And I said, I put it upon myself to remind them that the role that you said, not you, not him.
The office
is bigger than him. And the integrity of that office needs to be protected.
Mm-hmm. See why Milo Butler could never been prime minister?
Why Milo Butler?
Because he's bigger than the office.
He's bigger than the office. I catch it. And I'm not sure if people within the PLP, the Progressive Liberal Party, people within the government understands, appreciate that they have a duty of care for protecting that office.
The integrity of the office itself.
See, the individual could do anything, whatever he want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the office belongs to me, and the integrity of it is important because it represents me.
And that's why it's so important to make a distinction between the Davis administration and the Progressive Liberal Party.
So I have a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the video. It's a video circulating.
You catch
the video.
You saw the meeting I had in the bush.
No,
the
I didn't. I didn't see no meeting with the
okay,
bush. I talked about my prime minister all the way in Bimini, the private parties. It was a good party. I wish I could have had the $900 to attend.
Hold on, it costs money to get into the party or just to get to Bimini?
The party itself and to get to Bimini.
There was a ticket to get, like, to get inside the party?
Yeah, there's a price.
Hold on, so somebody was charging money for a party that the prime minister was attending?
Yeah, I'm assuming that.
Was that on the invitation? Like, because you need to tell me what I'm getting for my money.
Yeah, all kind of things. Yeah, 3 days were the parties. That's when he was a sheik. You know what a sheik is?
No.
The Arab
guy. I've never met.
You never met a
sheik? I don't know.
I used to work at a hotel, so I met a sheik a couple times.
Oh.
The Dubai one. Yeah, he tipped me well. But anyway, back to my point.
Dubai that?
Back Dakar? To Dubai. The gentleman was dressed up in a sheik. It was one of those nice parties with all kind of live entertainment and things. And see, my thing is, what if something happened there to the party, right? I'm assuming that police, the people who hire the police who protect the prime minister.
Bodyguards?
Not the bodyguards. You know, when you have to go, the prime minister come to your party and all kind of strange people there. One would assume that you send a scope of different type of police to be inside the audience.
Oh, like a national security team.
Yeah, one would assume, right? And they're getting paid.
See, because
to go
when
to this party.
Like how you say, when a prime minister is expected to attend an event, the state mechanisms should be aware of not just everyone who is invited to the event.
You see where the problems come
Everyone who is working the event.
Yes.
Anyone who could potentially or possibly attend the event. Like, there should be a complete security briefing.
See? You see what I mean? You see where I go in with this? See, and back to my point. If anything...
Hold on. Bimini have a clinic? How many... Okay, let me rephrase
they
the question.
They just fixed the airport.
Let me rephrase the question. How many outlets, how many electrical outlets are there in the Bimini Clinic?
I don't know.
Because I'm just saying I would not want to risk my prime minister being injured on a family island. And
shouldn't attend in the first place.
And then find out that he must be subjected to the same health care available to the residents of the island. That would be heartbreaking to find out that our prime minister could potentially die an untimely death because of a lack of resources available throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
You go on extreme. But... My point, Aaron, right? There are certain things, certain parties that our prime minister needs to graciously decline. So, you know, I appreciate your invitation, especially when I sent letter on your behalf to help you out. Especially when we have a relationship. You're my boy. We have friendship, right? But as prime minister inside this office, especially if it's possible, I have to be the office or the government have to be dealings with you in business, whatever. I cannot allow myself to be perceived of being too frenzy with you.
Oh, yes, because when in small island developing spaces where conflicts of interest cannot be avoided, we must maintain mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest publicly, accountably, and transparently.
I'm not sure if people inside the PLP, inside this government, inside this administration, is appreciating that. It seems like if they don't care about me and my opinions, they don't care about the Bahamians' opinions, that they can do whatever they want to do and risk the office of the prime minister.
Mm-hmm. The integrity of the nation.
Now, let's say again, the point I was trying to make, let's say something untoward happened at this party, because parties, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen, especially the big, trying to extravagant party with drinking and big international stars coming in, whatever it is, right? Won't that put or implicate, my word, because I might be using the wrong word there, won't that implicate that, say, the prime minister was there the prime minister sanctioned these things. The, whatever happened and transpired there, because he attended, he couldn't control the environment.
His attendance creates an environment in which people can speculate recklessly and wildly on his participation in things that he may not have even been aware of. Remember what Denzel Washington say? You don't remember what he said?
Oh, you're talking to, what, you talking Will Smith? What?
And he's talking about the boy. He said, tell him.
Go ahead.
Always leave 30 minutes before the devil arrives.
Oh, okay.
How you know the devil was coming?
How you know the devil was going to be there? What if the devil?
My grandma would say, stay home. You know the devil coming at some point? Stay home. He may come early.
In the video, I saw the white person say, wow, the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He didn't say Commonwealth, the prime minister of the Bahamas said, come to this party.
That's what the person said
in
the video?
That's what I said.
So it wasn't on the invitation. So they didn't put it on the invitation that he would be in attendance. Because he wouldn't have been surprised.
It's a surprise. But see, imagine you being a guest. You'd fly down.
You think the surprise was for the guests of the party or the surprise was to surprise the prime minister?
I don't know.
See, because at some point, I can start writing you back and saying, stop inviting me to things.
You need to write and say, stop inviting me to things. You need to write and say, I appreciate you, I'm glad I helped you out.
So you see the way y'all is treat Aaron? Y'all don't invite her to nothing? Treat me like that. Solidarity.
Aaron, you wasn't going to the party. Even if
I mean, I was, yeah. No. I don't have...
If you scared people might take your picture.
I don't have shoes.
And, right? And the same thing, my prime minister need to be concerned that people take his picture and say, see him right there next to this person doing this?
Mm-hmm. Next to this person who earlier was doing this. See the other picture. See, that's how it is.
Work. And then say, see, he must be friends with them. See, why
speculation.
Risk... Why risk my prime minister? Who is my prime minister's handler? They say, no, Mr. Prime Minister, you don't do them things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can look bad in the future. Like someone might take your picture and misconstrue this whole thing. Put a whole spin, narrative.
Here's my thing. All this boy need is one good Grammy. At one point when Travis Robinson had been identified as a candidate for the Free National Movement, I had a word with him and I told him, look, you got to have people on your team you could trust. Not just people they send you, but people personal to you who you could trust. Every politician need a good Grammy, one with a heavy hand, where just the threat of a slap is sufficient to cause people to straighten up and catch themselves. Mm. That's unbelievable, Mr. Newry. That they would have another extravagant party while I was deep, deep in the bush.
Mm.
Deep, far away.
I just want to get that off my shoulder, off my chest.
Only broke that. People is good enough. I mean, it wasn't in that. So I didn't even say that.
And my boy was there.
I didn't say that at all.
They call me Big Weech, Larry Hoover.
I don't know.
Working
I don't,
hard.
I don't listen to hip-hop.
You know?
I mean, not anymore.
It was a big concert, man.
Yeah.
But I just want to take it off my chest and bring it up so those who are listening, the handlers, you know, the handlers can... we can take a quick break here so we can continue our show. So the handlers can go back and say, okay, we ain't doing that no more. He ain't going to... Our PM ain't going to no more parties like this. Right? That's what I want to say. When we come back, we're going to reanalyze this letter, this response that the Prime Minister issued out. There are one or two things that I'm concerned about. I even might even talk about this new virus, that COVID thing that's rampant. What the hospital are doing.
Don't worry about it. The Bahamas government can't afford to get no new virus. We can't afford it. The subscription finished. They might as well cancel that.
And then the local government election is coming up. Anyway, this is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Vintner is carrying a new line of tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in four colors: Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Gris, and this one, Sky Glance. In this particular tile, I think you'll find coin gray, silver gray, cloud gray, and gray. All of these are seamlessly blended to make the Sky Glance one beautiful tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot and 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
and welcome back to Garden Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri, and I guess I may have ran on, but I wanted to express vehemently my concern, and that's why I brought it up. Not to denounce the Prime Minister, because I think we have an awesome Prime Minister now, but I think that someone needs to consider the office of the Prime Minister moving forward and protect Prime Minister from himself. If that, I don't think that's appropriate, because it's to have so many innuendos. But when you have love for people, you might have to say harsh statements in order to make sure they safeguard themselves. Certain parties just don't attend, and I don't believe I don't believe that former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram would have attended the party. Not that he didn't want to go, no, right? I believe that he positioned himself not to be aligned, accused, involved, misinterpreted in any way. And I bring that to something Loretta Butler Turner said about NIGARD when he used to have parties. No innocent parties, and he used to host politicians all the time. He said that Hubert Ingram said no politician, no FNM MP must attend any of the parties for whatever reason.
Because you don't need a reason. Like, I don't need to give you a specific reason. If you are a minister of the government, you're a cabinet minister, you're a senior government official, you're a PS, you're in the upper echelon of management within the public service, I don't need to give you a reason. First of all, you're supposed to have enough sense to understand why the rule. But second of all, there is no specific incident to pinpoint to say this is why you can't go to the party. You avoid any opportunity or you avoid creating an environment in which you can be involved in something that is beyond your control.
Especially in the narrative of a country where they said the United States listened to all our telephone calls and conversations and things. You avoid all of that, just in case. I'm not saying that they're still doing it, but just in case.
Which one? But
The WikiLeaks?
The thing, saying the things, or the recording of the
you
things
can say some
being
things,
said?
Just recording the
yeah,
things.
It's still happening.
You still think
has the government, has the government said or published anything that indicates that whatever permission or authority that the U.S. government was relying on has been revoked?
No, I didn't say
it. Okay, then.
I'm just saying we need to protect the integrity of our Prime Minister. The office of the Prime Minister. I want to reread that letter again.
Okay.
I could let you read it in its entirety, the Prime Minister's response to this possible strike action.
It was at that point proposed. Industrial.
Yes. And
action.
I want to know, what is a strike vote? Does this TUC have a strike vote? I want to understand if it's an illegal action that this union did. What are the recourses that our government will seek in order to correct it? You just can't say we meet with the union and we have resolved it, not after announcing that it was illegal. Moment you announce that is illegal, then there should be sought some kind of legal retribution to make sure it does not happen again. Some kind of fine, some type of, I'm not sure if there's even jail time or whatever it is, but some kind of penalty is the word I'm looking for. There needs to be a penalty, and we need to hear from the Office of the Prime Minister what resources that they plan to do now, since the Prime Minister in his letter has saying that it's illegal that what this trade union group has done. What they plan to do now, since the announcement of the illegality has been made public, I need to know what happens now. But let's go read that letter again.
Okay. Let's read that. Okay, so we're reading statement from the Prime Minister on threatened industrial action.
And I won't
action.
Interrupt you at all. Go ahead.
That's on the page, on the OPM's website. That's the Office of the Prime Minister's website. It was posted yesterday, 12th of January, 2025. I cannot let this evening go by without addressing a threatened unlawful industrial action announced by the leader of the Bahamas Trade Union Congress, O.B. Ferguson. He is an attorney and should well know about good faith and lawful conduct. The publicly proposed action is therefore surprising. It seems to me that in the face of this threat to break the law, the government must act. I appeal to members of the trade unions and their leadership to look at the facts. There is no issue that cannot be discussed and has not been discussed. You know that I have had an open door and the door remains open. It is curious to me that after days of trying to reach Mr. Ferguson by phone and his apparent refusal to answer his phone, he now publishes a voice note saying with the untruth that my government has not sought to resolve problems. In fact, my diary shows that he had agreed to a meeting tomorrow at 2 p.m. So is it not in bad faith to agree to meet then tell his members to go on strike? I am not standing on ceremony, though. I am a prime minister that wants to resolve problems. But my concern is for the nation, is for the well-being of the nation. The question one must ask is, why would the head of the TUC want to inflict harm on the nation when the problems can be solved by discussions and not an unlawful strike? I have consulted and remain in talks with my responsible for labor and the public service, Honorable Pia Glover Roll. She has done a yeoman's job at the labor front and stands ready, as do I, to continue to engage. To be clear, today my commitment stands. Union leaders, workers, my government, and all right-thinking Bahamians want what is best for our Bahamas. My government, we're going to get back to that, Mr. Nuri. Okay. We must and will make every reasonable, fair, and rational effort to provide proper health care and save our economy with the movement of visitors, residents, and products entering and exiting our islands with the controls of customs and immigration. We value all other civil servants seeking some level of negotiated resolve. Full stop, end of statement. That's it right there, Mr. Nuri, my government. Mm-hmm. You touched on it earlier. Mm-hmm. Who's the employer and who's the employee? Mm-hmm. Better yet, who does the government belong to? The government belongs to the Constitution.
Yes.
It ain't your government. It doesn't belong to you. You belong to it. Mm-hmm. And that's important. The office of the Prime Minister belongs to the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't belong to you, sir. You belong to it.
I see we have a caller here. A producer patched a caller through for me. I did you notice that the union, the TUC union, supposed to meet, or is expected to meet with the Prime Minister today at 2 p.m. for a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I think we ran over that. We didn't realize that 2 p.m. today, that the TCU president was going to meet with the Prime Minister. And I'm assuming that after that meeting, the Prime Minister will announce what type of penalties.
You think there's going to be a meeting at 2 p.m.?
The Prime Minister announced that there's going to be
That's
a meeting.
That's not what he said.
He said in his diary.
That's not what he said. He didn't announce that there was going to be, that there is going to be a meeting.
He noted.
He said, look at what they done. That make any sense considering in my diary.
His diary.
We supposed to meet at 2 p.m. tomorrow. That's
today, 2 p.m. today. Because that was yesterday they gave the statement.
Right.
So 2 p.m. today,
yes.
In his diary, mm-hmm. He noted that he was supposed to meet with the TUC head.
Every day you remind me to use my powers for good and not for evil, you know.
Yeah. Let's go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning to you, Nuri, and to you, Ms. Green.
Morning,
Alan
sir.
Johnson. You know, what concerns me with that statement is the fact that the Prime Minister used the word harm to the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he owes us an explanation as to what harm there is under the whole concept of transparency and accountability. What also happens is that the Prime Minister should have directed this to his people who do the negotiation for him. He's spending millions of dollars on these negotiations, individuals. But what the Prime Minister has to also understand is that his meeting could still be on schedule and the action can still be on schedule too, because the action sends a message that we have met over 3 years and made no significant change to accomplishing what has to be done. And this would be a message. We must also make note that essentially, even though they had the latest strike certificate, it seemed to me that they are implying they have yet to use the strike certificate, and this is simply an entitlement of the 2 consecutive days as per their contract. And so that means that there could be a strike. And so the question is, the clarification for me is that this is not a strike, but simply a group of people exercising what has been guaranteed to them and right in their contracts. And so this could go larger. So essentially, though, but we must also look, this is the multiplicity of things. We must also look at the 2 other umbrella unions have basically chosen to wait till another time, because if this is not a strike, it would make sense that the 2 umbrella unions do not choose at this time not to participate, because it's not a strike. It's a, you know, sick day. So what we have possibly is a wider, broader problem that's going on, because should the three umbrella unions get together and then decide that they're going to have a strike, that would be a coordinated action. But again, this is not a strike. This, according to the TUC, this is people exercising their rights. So we must look to see, is there a pending strike where the three umbrella unions could come together, or can the other two umbrella unions have their own action that they intend to take at a different time and a different place to basically get what they have been lacking also. But just in ending this, ultimately, is what a failure of us to grow the economy. And somehow, we allow them to gaslight us and come with conversation and distract us and not speak about the failure to grow the economy, at least to keep pace with the 2% inflation.
See, Alan, a quick question. Is it possible? Is it possible that the whole proposed strike action is a coordinated and concerted distraction in collusion with the government? Because
I'm saying that, but then that would come from within, that will come from the leadership. Then one has to ask, what are they trying to distract us from? And that there would even be more scarier, because as the Prime Minister says, this ultimately does damage to us as a country, as an economy. Then you have to look to say, then what is worse than the damage that could happen to the economy that they need to distract us from? And that is very concerning. Now, we could take into consideration that we could look back and understand that the reports for the last quarter should be coming in right now, and look at the fact that the Prime Minister chose April 1st as a date in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter to start, and the fact that it will have an economic impact regardless of what the magician Al-Qaeda says.
Let me ask you a question. Who, because I remember that I was supposed to bring that back to the table. Who chooses April 1st as a date? And which Bahamian government thinks that anybody going to believe that they're going to do anything on April 1st?
Well, this government does. You know, they say a promise is a fool. Let me explain this quickly. A promise is a fool when two conditions are not met. When a person makes a promise, one must ask, do they have the capability and do they have the intent? It is only when you become a fool when they have the capability and they choose not to do it, or they do not have the capability. Mm-hmm. But if they have the capability and the intent and they do it, they've kept their word. But any one of those other two combinations, they're calling us all fool. So the question is going to be not the fact that he's giving us the 50% discount on foods. Now, I want you to go and listen to what the Prime Minister said. He said all foods, and then Michael Alkidis came back, which is customary of the Progressive Labour Party, to double talk and say, no, it's some food. Go read the Prime Minister's speech. He said all foods, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens then is that, again, that they told us one thing and said it means another thing. So the question is, even though he's given you 5%, If the businesses have light bill continue to rise and costs continue to rise and they incorporate that into the price of the goods, the item that I normally would pay $1.10 with VAT, but the 10%, I may now be paying $1.15 with the 5% because of the inflation and the impact that the other policies are having on it. So this is what's called an illusionary benefit. So it would have been better if the Prime Minister had made Rolls Royce duty-free for all Bahamians.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so do you have any actual regulations or fiscal policies to help, or you just, I mean, you think they can start charging VAT on hot air?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. The problem is that we you know, the Prime Minister talk about these so-called barriers for trade and barriers for anything. None of those barriers exist except in the mind of an antiquated thinker from the 19th or 20th century. Every barrier that the Prime Minister spoke about, going back to his speech to Life with Key, does not exist in the digital realm of global economics. This is why you have the fight now between China and the United States and others for the Panama Canal, Greenland, and the rest of them, because the world is changing and we are still keeping the merchant class mentality. And where, you know, you see where, what is it? Amazon already showed us that the barrier to the for what we thought existed for their reach is been broken, but the Prime Minister keeps talking about the oligarchs and people for food stores and everything else. What it does, it gives us the opportunity to diversify the economy and act as global players rather than global consumers. And the problem is that leadership requires leadership that understand the new dispensation we live in and the one we are moving into. We can't build yesterday. You build tomorrow. And even today, you experience today. Remember yesterday and build tomorrow. We are not doing that. And so what we have to do is, now I say, as you move to the election mode, we have to begin to test our leadership, not saying of you know these wonderful things that they've harvested from the information, because information is around us, but knowledge is the comprehension of information, wisdom is the proper execution. The question is, can the next group of leadership tell us how before they get there? And that's the things we have to begin to ask.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank
you very much. You smart, C. Allen, but you don't know how to run a plantation, buddy. You obviously don't know how to run a plantation, because there ain't none of them ideas you had go away here.
Going back on the thread of the topic, right, and the letter or the address, the note that the Prime Minister writes saying that a general strike will harm the country. So moving forward, any talk about a general strike, members using their rights, because you have to get a strike vote to be able to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Any talk about that? The Prime Minister is saying that is anti-Bohemian.
That's why the government didn't talk about majority rule day this year.
Yeah. But they had a thing at the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister's gravesite. They had a whole thing.
The Progressive Liberal Party had an event.
That wasn't the government.
No,
I saw the PLP tent.
Yeah.
Anyway, but my point is that should be concerning of all unionists in terms that this government is suggesting that any type of demonstration,
it
right,
should be
is anti-government, anti-Bahamas.
It should be the concern of all right-thinking Bahamians, whether primarily of African descent or primarily of European descent. All of us should be concerned that the Prime Minister seems to be in a very trivial and subversive way suggesting that one of the primary tenets, right, that underpins the democracy, that underpins the sovereignty of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, is this principle of labor.
See, that's why I'm concerned. I am concerned, and that needs to be addressed. And those who are in the union must address that.
And then it's hilarious. Hold on. And then on the other side, it is frighteningly hilarious that it is the Progressive Liberal Party that thwarts. See, because then we have the statement by the minister. Mm-hmm. We have the statement by the Prime Minister, right? And then we have statements coming from all kinds of media houses purporting or leaving us to infer that they are a part of the PLP administration's press team without clearly saying it, right? And we have all of these little entities coming out and engaging in discourse that is obviously and intentionally, that is obviously intending to spin a particular narrative.
And that's what I want to talk about next. The machinery. There's a government machinery, which is cool. And there's a party's machinery. And I'm not saying I agree with Obi Ferguson's antics and this strike thing or not strike thing, this demonstration thing they're doing or this calling thing. I'm not saying I agree with it, right? But as soon as this has been announced and the various entities under his umbrella union was being announced, there was the party's machinery came out. There's a party machinery which suggested that Obi Ferguson is suffering dementia. And they go on in detail about that.
What? Hold on.
Go ahead.
See, because this is the second time that it appears that messaging emanating from PLP camps are using mental health and wellness as a stigma to attack people.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about, now you might disagree with people's policies and their beliefs, but the idea that you get stigmatized and saying that person crazy, and using what I call dementia is a serious term to call
the irony is that in 50 years, we're going to have a dementia crisis in the Bahamas.
Yes, they mentioned that globally.
Exacerbated by...
Yeah, so and then the machinery in terms of educating the Bahamas about the highlights or the accomplishments of the minister, right? Remind us that this is the minister who did all of this, coming from the machinery, and to remind us that these other persons haven't done anything, right? I am concerned about that moving forward. I'm not sure if we are in the campaign mode now and that we should expect this type of discourse right? Even the churlish discourse or the informational discourse.
Hold on, go on.
Yeah, right? So, but I am concerned about this, the machinery and how that reacts.
I'm concerned about the smudgy and nasty discourse.
Well, this could be a smudgy election.
No, it can't be. No, let's look at it right. It's 2025. We're in the middle of January. Yes. It's 2025, and you're telling me that Philip Brave Davis, understanding the way that politics has taken place over the, say, the last 50 years from here to independence, that he is not prepared. He's not prepared to put his foot down and demand of his party members that they operate with integrity and remove themselves.
You remember that chairmanship election? That should tell you? Oh, look where you're going. I didn't want you to talk about it. I'm just saying.
I remember when they sent out the voice, look at Shane and Robin pulling train on the PLP, emanating from likely from PLP camps nonetheless. Smudgy. It's nasty. And all of y'all people who say that you are supporters of, members of, and card-carrying members of the PLP,
and
denounce it and ensure that it never happens again.
And then I want to also speak about tune of our prime minister's response. And I'm going to say it's our prime minister's response because his name is attached to it. His picture is attached to it. It's an official document suggesting that, even though I know it's been written by speech writers, right? Mm-hmm. I would conclude that it was written for him and technically by him, even though we know that he has speech writers. This particular response to this possible industrial strike had shade in it. I don't think my prime minister needs to be his declarations needs to have shade. Which you mean that the union leader did not purposely answer phone calls? This is an official letter now.
Hold on, and you know the state of your... Hold on. This is important, Yuri, because he should be aware of the state of the telecommunication systems where people are regularly complaining. I could show you log after log of people who have shown me their phone log where they have called me and no call has been registered on my side. How could you make such a public statement like this?
You remember
leaving readers to infer such things.
You remember when the Junkanoo group again? JCMP wrote a letter to the Prime Minister and it said, it's a flippant letter and you don't address the office of the Prime Minister as such, right? Mm-hmm. It lowered the office by the flippancy and the suggestive wording in it, right? And then you see my Prime Minister come with a similar type letter with flippancy in the letter.
See, right? Remember in 2021 when I said, hey, honorable leader of the opposition, you're trying to be prime minister. The biggest task in front of you is causing and compelling your members to discipline themselves, to govern themselves, to moderate their behavior. Mm. You remember what the chair of the local organizing committee of the Krifta Games was quoted as saying in response to questions about the audited report tabled by the Auditor General in the House or coming from the Auditor General's office in the House of Assembly, call it garbage.
Mm-hmm. The audacity.
Right? The minister's response to the whole situation was to table an unaudited, right? The flippancy didn't just start here.
And mind you, the critique I'm giving and what we are giving is not to say that we anti this government. No, actually, I'm kind of pro because they do good things. But I think there is a need to do a critical analysis to challenge things that is not working. And the response is a broken response. And I'm hoping that they correct it moving forward. And this is what I'm doing this exercise for right now. And this what happened here can't happen again. It can't happen again. And I expect after this 2 p.m. meeting, one, the Prime Minister already says unlawful, what a word he used, right? Illegal and unlawful. Therefore, he has a duty of care to come back to me and say what he plans to do because it's illegal and unlawful, because he already made the statement. After you make the statement, you got to go forward with it, right? And then this emotion that it's the Bahamas, the nation versus the union members, is problematic. And I think all union members needs to address this because moving forward, I see there's a theme coming out where every in the future, any industrial action you do, the government's going to say that y'all are anti-Bahamian. Don't worry about your membership and trying to get benefits for your membership, because any type of industrial action is anti-government, anti-Bahamian, anti-nationhood. And like I say, those words are problematic, and it's union busting. It's turning the Bahamian people against unions. And we know unions are important. We know unions are important. And I said,
hold on, no.
But unions are important.
Say it properly.
Go ahead.
Unions are the foundation of a free world. No, go ahead. No, Nuri, it is important. See, here's the thing. You remember, the whole world celebrates labor mm-hmm. on May Day, May 1st. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas celebrates it on a different day. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to know why. Mm-hmm. Right? I need to know why. We need to know why we made a decision to celebrate and commemorate the efforts and contributions of labor on a different day from the rest of the world. Is it because we are still a plantation? Is it because we don't really believe in these principles? What is it? What has transpired from the time from majority rule when labor advocate Randall Fox threw his hand in with the PLP? Mm-hmm. What has changed since then? Labor is. These principles are the underpinning of our freedom. And to have the PLP of it, let's go to the phone line. Yeah. It's just ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah, but this is where we come and re-interrogate. Like I said, it's not malicious or intended to malign anyone. It's to right-size things, to have Bahamians think and say, no, I see it. Let's move forward and have a better
conversation,
better governance in general. How you doing, caller?
Morning, caller. Yes, sir?
Yeah, the labor part and the union. I work in the hotel, and we have a lot of people. Certain hotels don't have the union. The certain hotel I work in, big hotel out west, they mm-hmm. don't have union in there. And when you speak with union in the place, everyone, oh, no, I don't want, I pay in union, I don't want to. Oh, union can't help and everything. Well, I say, come on, man. So it's like the younger generation now, they have no faith in the union. Because we have some people out there who stipulating, put things inside these people in their head about the union. Oh, they won't pay this, they don't want to pay that. I say, you all go and mess up the money on rum and everything on your, hey, you all scared to pay even $10 or $20 or something like that? So for someone to talk to you all, you don't have no voice. So when them people don't put you in a position and you don't have no one to talk for you, then you can see just what it is.
Yes, sir.
You understand? And you know, it made me know that the union was strong. And see, as when I used to wake over in the Lannis in the laundry years ago, before, that's when I was a younger, mm-hmm. and young chump. And 6 months, I was a bus, they call it buyout. And 6 months' time, the shop steward came to me and said, like, yeah, you know, you could, they can make you permanent, you know what I mean? They can't let you go over the 6 months. That's the shop steward from the union.
Mm-hmm.
And from then, that's still, I'm 46 years old, and I was must even 19 or 20-something. And that's still in me up to this day now. And much as I try to preach to people, to let them know that at least you have a voice, a little voice in the back of your head to at least help you save your job for someone to be trying to throw you underneath the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just trust me, we have thousands of people who in this hotel don't have no faith. And that's why we don't have no union in this place now.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad, man, you know what I mean? And some of them don't really even know the Constitution and everything and all that. We need to get back. See what's happening is now, the government them think these fools. You understand the government? You know when the world be back in this and again every 5 years the union them have to be fighting for people with people and ready to contribute to the country. Why that they cannot get what owed them? If you work overtime, if you work this, if you work that, pay the people them their money.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller.
All right, then.
Okay. Thanks.
You know, listening to the caller, you know, of course we can't get rid of unions. That's not the question today. I think the question is, how do we reform union management to make it more effective for the actual workers?
Mm-hmm.
for the laborers, right? I'm looking at this MOU. I'm looking at Section 11. It says, the parties agree that the PLP in government will supply to each umbrella unions a parcel of land for the building of their national headquarters. To me, it feels like the umbrellas are using the workers as a bargaining chip.
I'm sure that's what happened.
To etch out greater proximity and access to power.
This is why they had an MOU.
Of different forms, which is why they had an MOU.
Yeah.
And so it's incumbent upon the members of these unions now to police their own leadership. Mm. You've got to police your leadership. And see, we don't even, I think a part of it is we don't understand how the organizations work. The umbrella organizations are powered from the ground up, right? The government is like an umbrella. You're powered from the ground up. You have no value. You have no purpose without the members. They are why you exist. And they should be central in all of your work. All of your thoughts about your work, all of your policy creation, all of your negotiations, these things should be central. You're worried about building land for the building of national headquarters. You know what I worried about? Why don't we have an infrastructure of public bathrooms for workers who have to use the bathroom on their way to work and on their way home? Because that's a part of work life. In case you didn't know it, right, in the international community and labor laws, work life includes you getting to work and you coming home from work. So imagine all of these employees that are on, if they're lucky enough for their union to have a bus and a transportation system, or you lucky enough to afford a car, why don't we have public bathrooms available for people who need to use the bathroom throughout the day? I ain't worried about no parcel of land for you to build your national headquarters. What y'all doing? Mr. Neary, the text line.
Yeah, let's go through the text line. Let's read all right. That.
As the Prime Minister and his government now sets out to demonize the unions and its members, suggesting that in an illegal move, not of goodwill, they, the unions, have set to disrupt business in the country, some would like to know exactly what had been promised and not delivered that brought the country to this point. Here's another text. $1 million mortgage payment is $10 per month. Your income is $9,000 before expenses. Texter, I don't know about that type of money. That's a lot of money, eh? Apparently, school teachers are going on strike. My son just called me to pick him up from Doris Johnson. They dismissed school because of it. This text came in at 11:29 a.m.
There shouldn't be no industrial action in New Providence at all. There shouldn't have been. It has to be something else other than an industrial action. Maybe water turn off. You know when water turn off, they send everybody home.
Mr. Neary.
They send everybody home for water turn off.
Absolutely, but at the same time, why couldn't it be industrial action?
Because the union president said no. She already speak. Let her finish that. She speak on behalf of her union. It can't be an industrial action.
In this instance, I think that she wanted to ensure that her membership understood that the union itself is not endorsed any collective participation in the strike action. That doesn't mean that individual teachers can't strike or the teachers within a school can't.
Go home sick, eh? I guess if they're sick, they're sick.
All right, the text said, what makes this strike illegal? Who signed off on the strike certificates? Let me tell y'all something. Do y'all understand how protest works? Do you understand how protest works? You allow the government to tell you that you need to get permission from them to strike?
Mind you, some things could be unlawful. And an unlawful industrial action, that's one thing the Prime Minister, and it harms the country. So, yes, you got to get permission. You got to get a strike vote.
Again, Mr. Newry, what type of plantation resident are you if you have to get permission to protest?
That's the law. You can protest, you just can't come off the job. You gotta get permission.
Oh boy, I'm not reading that text out loud. Maybe it was. The text says maybe it was Philip Brave Davis at the party and the prime minister was somewhere else. Don't forget how eloquently Mr. Christie was able to make that distinction. Mr. Mitchell takes it even further, right? Because sometimes, I sure the MP for Fox Hill don't sit in the cabinet office. He ain't allowed in there, but the minister for affairs.
I don't like you talking about my MP. You know, I have a good MP.
I'm talking about the cabinet office. Okay. I wasn't even talking about him at all.
Why don't you don't talk about the MP?
Okay.
You
can
talk
good morning, about the Mr. Office. Newry. I support your view. 200% of the PM attending a party when there was talk of an industrial action looming. Mm. Also, you are known by the company you keep. Respect the office, PM. Another text, good morning. Aaron, it seems as if the only thing this prime minister have sense to do is take flights. Well, remember what the good Sir Jabat say? Catch feelings. I catch flights. Yeah. Dear Prime Minister, perhaps it's time for you to start catching feelings. At least catch the feelings and the sentiments of the citizens who you volunteered not to govern, you know. You didn't volunteer to govern us. Mm-hmm. You volunteered to manage the government. And until you can learn to govern yourself, we're going to get the governments we deserve. That's just how it works. Mr. Newry, we are at that hour. Could I ask the producer to play that song, Old Head, by Johnny Cake? Did he Old just Head. Release on Majority Rule Day?
It sounds like a good song.
Does it?
Yeah, man.
Okay, good. I ain't going to ask you if you know any.
No.
No, you don't.
Oh, producer, play that song for me. Sorry for that.
You're pulling it up.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Anyway, get yourself a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding between the Joint Labor Movement, consisting of Commonwealth of the Bahamas Trade Union Congress and National Congress of Trade Unions, Bahamas, and the Progressive Liberal Party while in opposition. Give you a good sense of what they're negotiating for and what the Prime Minister said. They have discussed everything and everything and everything and everything. You guys have a great day. The Foundation with Howard Grant is up next. I expose the things I like, long as I keep her singing. Johnny! But that credit card is just white. She has want me there in the morning. She ain't want me leaving the night. She has cooked me 3 meals a day. But I see tell my stomach tight. She got me thinking about getting married. I remember what the old man said. Don't be fooled by the good treatment. And because her skin color red, that's all. She's keep up but 1,000 inside of props.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.